You know, if we get a little vision of that, I think we'll be all right. Jesus loves me. Well, I trust and pray that the Lord will help us this morning. Just want to deliver His Word. We've just been seeking the Lord this week. I feel like He's given us some things for us. So we would like your prayers. In 1 Kings 5 and 13, it says here, and King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. You know, Solomon, after he took the kingdom, he built a beautiful temple unto the Lord. And it was a beautiful thing. If you read a little bit in history, it's pretty amazing the beauty of the things that was made. And it says that Solomon had 70,000 men that bear burdens. It says he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 80 and 10,000 that bear burdens. That's 70,000 men that bear burdens and 80,000 hewers in the mountains. And you know, he said, it goes on to say that there was 3,300 men that was over the people that wrought in the work, that helped in the management of it. And it took him about 7 years, I believe, to build the temple. And you know, when you look at the structure and you realize the work that went in and the many, many thousands of men, these were just ones over in Lebanon, mainly, that it was talking about. But then there was many more employed over the years in what was done, and he built himself a house. And during that time, it says it took him 10 years to do that. And these were beautiful structures that he built. But you know, all of that, in all of its beauty, it's gone today. And there isn't anything left of it because it's the work of men's hands. And the best that he could do and the most beautiful thing he could make, it's gone today. We don't have any thing to look at that he built, except what might be in pictures or some kind of descriptions that we have today. But you know, I want us to think this morning, I just feel like the Lord has given us some thoughts. You know, the Lord is a builder also, and He's built some things too. And I want to look at some of the things that the Lord made. You know, when things are made without hands, then it's a whole different kind of work. And it's an eternal work. And the Lord has made some things that He would like for us to recognize and realize He made these things and cherish these things in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," you know, this body's going to go back to dust, isn't it? But it says, "We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." You know, it says here that this here is eternal in the heavens. It's not going to, after a period of time, pass away. It's a lot more valuable than the beautiful things and the things that took... how many men did we say? There was 153,000 and some right there. And I don't know how many years he had that many men, Solomon had. But it must have been quite a structure to take that kind of work to build. But you know, the Lord, it says, "We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I just want us to think about the eternal qualities that the Lord has put in some of the things He's built. And you know, if we believe this and realize that I go to prepare a place for you, you know, the Lord has went to do that, and He's made a place that it makes the most beautiful things on this earth just completely pale in comparison to what He has built. And it's eternal. It'll never pass away. I want to look at Revelations 4 and 8, another scripture. Revelation 4 and 8, and it says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who live forever and ever, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, the Lord has created some things, and we're going to talk about some of those things this morning. But he has created those things for his pleasure and for his glory and for his honor. And the Lord wants to get glory and honor out of those things that he's created. I believe when you just look at the temporal things that God has made, you look at the human body, and you don't have to go any further than that. And it's just amazing beyond belief. And yet that's just a little thing. And God has made some other things that I believe that we could say far surpass the things that we see with our eyes. They're eternal and in the heavens. What God makes, and I want us to think about this morning, what God makes brings glory to himself, to the Maker. He created all the things natural and spiritual, but you know, he created all of these things because he wanted them to glorify himself. And so I want to look at Daniel 2 and 44, and I know most of us here are probably real familiar with these scriptures. I don't ask the Lord too much, why, Lord? I don't know why he gives me some things, but I believe the Lord wants us to know. I think it's very important to the Lord for us to know that he has created some things and he wants them to bring glory to his name. And in 2 and 44 it says, "And in the days of these kings..." Now, most of us know what this is talking about. The king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he saw a great image, and the head was of gold. Then there was silver, and then there was brass, I believe. And then the legs or the and the feet were of iron and clay, maybe. And it says here, "Thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay." And we see that in the days of the Roman kings. This is talking about something Nebuchadnezzar couldn't understand what it was. But Daniel explained to him that there would be kingdoms. And Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of the gold. You're the head of this image that you saw in your dream. And then it went to others. But we see on down, it comes down to the time of the Roman rule. And we see where it says here in 44, verse 44, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." You know, the kingdom that the Lord set up, we sing a song that talks about it is a kingdom of peace. You know, we are enjoying that today. And the Lord showed this to the king Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel translated a little bit of what it meant. He said, "In the days of these kings on down the way a little ways, after the Grecians and the different ones," he said, "the God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom." And I want us to just think a little bit this morning that God has set up something that I believe he wants it to glorify himself. And it is something that is not made with hands. He said, "Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone..." He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar about what he saw in his dream, if you read the whole thing. "The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." You know, it speaks of something not made with hands. Now, we talked about a little bit about that we have a home eternal in the heavens that God has made, and we expect that to surpass anything made with hands that we've ever seen. Because we know what we've already seen that God has done. We believe that what he wants to do that's eternal and as a final reward far surpasses the things we have. It's made without hands. I cannot imagine asking God, "Lord, would you allow some of us humans to help you design that place?" I don't think I wouldn't want that part of it. I would prefer the part that's made without hands. Well, you know, the Lord said to him, "I'm going to set up a kingdom, and it's going to be made without... There's going to be a stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands." And you know what? It's not made by humans. It's not something that humans have developed and designed and perfected. It's something that God cut out. And He sent His Son. And we see that today. I just want to encourage us this morning. There is a building of God that the Lord has given to us that's not made with human hands. And I want to look a little bit at that. This kingdom that He's talking about, it's flawless. I believe that. Because it's something that God Himself set up. That's why we can have peace today. If it was up to others, somewhere along the way, I'm convinced that man would have corrupted it. But it is impossible to corrupt the things that God has made. It is only possible to corrupt ourselves. So I want to look a little bit this morning about the kingdom that the Lord set up and how He did it. And I ask the Lord to help us to be able to convey some of the things that I believe the Lord has given us this morning. You know, in Isaiah 9... I want to read a little more. You know, this kingdom that we see that God has made, it is important for us to understand the nature of the kingdom of God. Because if we see God's kingdom as a man-made organization or something that has man's fingerprints on it, that man has built, that man has done, you know what? We're going to be very disappointed in the world today. But if we can see the kingdom of God for what it is, it's a divinely built organization. It's divinely run and directed. And we want to look at some of the things the Lord told us about it. In Isaiah 9 and 2, it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And I want to move on down to 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Folks, I want to tell us this morning that there is no end to the increase of the peace and the government of God, and that He gives His people. And He wants us to have that. He wants us to be a part of that kingdom of peace. It's something that we are born into. And as the Scripture says, this man and that man was born there. You know, the Lord wants us to recognize what a kingdom is at hand and how invincible it is. It's not possible for any man to bring down this kingdom. It's not possible for this kingdom to be confused because it's built by God. It's got His fingerprints on it, and He built it so that men can get a hold of it in any place at any time in the world's history. Men can get a hold of, since Christ, that kingdom of peace that reigns in the heart today. And it says, "Shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and justice, with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You know, that kingdom is still increasing today. We might think, well, it's small in number. You know, it is. It is, but it's still increasing. You know how many millions there's been from the time of Christ until now? The kingdom of God is still increasing in every heart that will let it be so. In Micah 4 and 1, there's a few things we want to come to here in a little bit. But in the last days, Micah 4 and 1, "It shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Is there really a time in the world's history where people won't learn war anymore? In verse 1 it says, "In the last days it shall come to pass." You know, we're living in that time now. When Christ came, from that time until now, he has admonished his people through his word and spirit. Beat your swords into plowshares. Don't be fighting anymore. He's told people that all through the years. His word, his spirit reaches out to us today to be a people of peace. And where would we see that? Only among God's chosen. Only among his people. I want to enlarge on this in a minute. But I want to think about this morning. It says that in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. It refers to the work of God as the mountain of the house of the Lord. And that it's going to be established in a very exalted place in the earth. The Lord, I believe, wants His place is exalted. And He wants us to realize and recognize what that is this morning. I want to look at something else the Lord built. In Matthew 16 and 18, and it says here, Matthew 16 and 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to talk a little bit this morning about the divine work that God has done in building his church. He's got a lot of different names for it, and I want to mention some of those in a minute. But I want to speak of what this says here, that it's going to be built upon this rock. That rock is Christ. You know, the things that are built on that rock, and when we build our life on that rock, we are in a safe place. The Lord said he was going to build his church there, and he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All the forces, all the things the enemy can put against the work of God, the church of God, I want to tell you, those things cannot. They cannot prevail against what is God's, those things that are the Lord's. And so I want us to lift up our vision a little bit this morning to see what God has made. He says here that he will build his church upon that. The word church comes from the word ecclesia. And every time in the New Testament you find the word church, it is from that very word ecclesia. And it says here, a calling out, this is the Greek, a calling out, a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation. Then in parentheses it says, Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both, assembly, church. What this word is speaking of is not a building, and I know we all know that. It's not speaking of a building, but it's speaking about a called group of people. Those that are called out from the world around them, from the things that God does not have His fingerprints on, the things that we see all around us have men's fingerprints on them. I think about, and maybe we'll read this in a little bit, but I think about Peter one time. He got a little vision of some things with the Lord, and a bunch of people began to go away. And you know what, Peter? The Lord asked Peter, "You going to go away too?" And Peter said, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, there's some things that we want to establish in our hearts this morning about the kingdom of God. We could never, understanding the ways of the Lord and the way He set His congregation up, His people, when it speaks of church, it's not speaking of an organization that somebody's put together and put a name on it and they take the names down and you join that organization. A person that understands what the Bible says about that thing cut out without hands realizes that they can never do that. They can never go somewhere and become a member of an organization that is built by man or that has man's fingerprints on it. That's why today, I don't know if I'm making myself very clear, but that's why today we don't have a role to sign. The Bible speaks that our names are written in heaven. You know, it's a divine organization. God keeps the tally of who is saved and who isn't. And we can't say who that is altogether. Of course we cannot, period. But I just want us to think this morning and realize if we can see what God has built and the beauty of it, it will greatly encourage our hearts. The Lord set up something 2,000 years ago in A.D. 33 when He set up the church, and He set it up as a divine organization. He didn't have anybody that sanctioned what He did on this earth. The Lord set it up. It was His workings. It's eternal, and it'll carry His people to heaven. I just want us to remember this morning, God has a kingdom of peace, and He wants us to be a part of it. And He doesn't ever want us to think that I can go and join up with some organization of man and be okay in that. The Lord doesn't allow His people to do that. He has an organization that is divine. And so, in Isaiah 50 and 10, I want to read this scripture. Isaiah 50 and 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" Anybody ever felt that way? Who's ever, anybody here ever felt that way? You ever felt like, he says here, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" Seem like things are kind of real dim. You know what he says here? "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." You know, the Lord said, "I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my congregation. I'm going to build my people." He's not talking about something you see with your eyes as buildings and such as that and has so many million members. The Lord said He was going to build His church upon Himself. And He says here, those that feel like they walk in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let him anchor himself to the Lord. Let him become set down right there. You know what that does? That puts your name enrolled in heaven. That puts your name on a book that no man can take out. And that's a very safe place to be. I will tell you what else it does. It anchors you upon the Lord, upon His commandments, upon the things He teaches, upon all the words of this book. And when we take those and we live by those, you know what it does? It anchors us in life. It gives us something that doesn't fish around and move around all the time where we're not sure and nobody else is sure either where we're at. The Lord would like for us to build our lives upon the Lord. As He said, He would build His church there. And His church is the congregation of people. stay upon the Lord his God. I think about the many different ways that the Lord has characterized his work. And he refers to it, and you know, we could have hours and hours on these things, but I'm condensing it a lot. But you know, it says, it speaks of as a bride adorned for the bridegroom. It speaks of the church in purity. That's something that God's church has. You know what? God's church has that. It does. And I want us to understand before I say this that I'm not trying to throw anything out here. I just want us to remember, as long as we're pure and we're saved and we're born again, you know what? We're part of God's church and we're following the Lord's teachings. But if we're not pure, we're not a part of God's church. There's not a single member in His body that is unholy. There's not a single member in the church of God that lives a shoddy life. Because God's church, the names are written in heaven. It is a divine organization. There will always be people. There will always be. Sitting down with the Lord in His group was one that just simply betrayed Him. Simply sold Him. Can you imagine such a thing? I can, knowing people. But you know what? That didn't dim the Lord's view of what He was building and of what He was doing. I just want to encourage us today, this morning, that the Lord wants us to recognize what He has built. It brings glory to God. And He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to be a part of His work. He wants us to be called out from all those things around us that pertain to sin and men's fingerprints. The Lord wants His people like that. And you know what? When we do that, we become part of this ecclesia, part of this congregation worldwide that God has His approval on. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. You know what we just each one need to do? We need to each one through our life need to be sure, Lord, I want to know that things are right between me and You. I want to build my life on Your teachings. I want to build my life in a way that pleases You. Some of the other ways that it's characterized, it speaks of a body. It speaks of the body of Christ. A mountain, a holy mountain, a city of God, the church of God, a spiritual house, a building of God. Not made with hands. It speaks, ye are coming to Mount Zion. It speaks of the heavenly Jerusalem. I believe part of that's over there, and I believe part of that's here. You know what? The Lord has made something that He wants us to get our eyes on and recognize what the work of God is and what the building of the Lord is. We read the scripture, it said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you know that everything that the enemy can employ against the Lord's workings, against His eternal work that He has done, it cannot avail anything to be able to pull one person down? The Lord has us in His hand and He's able to take care of us this morning. I want to look at the one body, Ephesians 4 and 4 to 6. It says here, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's important for us to understand what the kingdom of God and what the church of God is. I believe that the word tells us here, there is one Lord. And He says there is one faith. And He says there is one body. That body, is much greater than what we could see with our eyes right here. It is a worldwide living organism that God has made, and He wants us to be a part of that. We can't sign our names on a register and now we're part of the Church of God. We can only be born into that. We can only live there as we please the Lord and as we follow His ways, His words, His teachings in our life. So there's so many in our world all around us today. There's churches everywhere. I would that God would help us to be able to clear up our vision just a little bit, to realize all these things have man's fingerprints all over them. To one they will say, we have faith, we believe in Christ, get saved, give your life to God, repent of your sins. It's not necessary to go on and live a holy life. But get that repentance done. You know what? That's building on a little piece of what God has taken. And we can't take a little piece of. We have to take all that is in the book. So I just want to encourage us this morning to recognize, what is the Church of God? It is those people who have been born of the Spirit and who follow the Lord and follow the Lamb all the way. He doesn't want us to join up with something where we have to put our name on a book. We should get that in our minds right now. I will never go there. I will never do something like that, because that's man's work. That's man's building. And God's building isn't like that. Maybe we'll look at some other things here in a minute and spend a little more time with some of this. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I know the enemy wants to cloud things, and he does. But you know, the Lord wants us to just build our lives on the rock. Be a part of what God has. Be called out from the midst of false churches, false doctrines, false teachings. And stand apart from those things and follow the Lord all the way. I believe the Lord wants us to do that. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, I'm thinking this morning how important it is for us to recognize the work that God wants to do in His church. You know, there are many places where people decide, I want to do such and such. And you know, I want to be a whatever it is. Whatever it is in whatever church they're thinking about joining or that they're a part of. And so they go to school for that. And they learn for that, for those things. But I want us to think about the way that God's body operates and get some things revealed to our hearts and ask God to help us to understand what His work is about. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, it says, but now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Here the Lord is speaking of His church as a body. Because it is not, He did not, it is not just a thing with inanimate stones in it, but it is built with live animated people whose souls have been changed. And I want to look a little at what he says here. He says, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Do you know what we have that we teach as Holy Spirit leadership? The way we teach it is, as I understand it, and as I've experienced it, is that as you receive of the Spirit of God, He begins to work in your life, and He begins to call you to places and to work and to things that He wants you to do. That's why it's so very important for us to truly be the Church of God, because we can have it in name, we can have it even in doctrine, but it has to be a living live thing within our life. And so we believe that when there is a need, if we are all living right where the Lord wants us to, you know what the Lord will do? He'll reach down and He'll set the members right where He wants them. You know why? Because it's a divine organization. It's not something of man where we begin to look and say, well, this one's most qualified. I think we'll put him over here. I think we'll put her over there. And those kind of things. You know, the Lord's work is one where He sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. That's why it's so important for us to be really, truly consecrated.